Sports Day for Kia. The all-new Kia Sportage has been unleashed. And Red Energy, awarded Canstar's most trusted retailer nationally for 2021.
7 minutes past six. Hello, welcome along to Sports Day. The Aussies in trouble down in Hobart. We'll get to that very shortly. But just as it looked like Immigration Minister Alex Hawke was about to blot his copybook by delaying his decision further and specifically making it almost impossible for the Tennis Australian players that complied with the no jab, no play policy to prepare adequately, he has finally acted, cancelling the visa of Novak Djokovic. Now, stay with us, folks, because this is important stuff. We've got all the experts to tell you what it all means, what happens to the Joker from here, and we're going to begin, Matthew, by joining Justin Quill from major law firm Thomson Geer very shortly. But quickly, the score down in Hobart.
Yeah, down in Hobart. So all happening down there as well. Australia 4 for 85 at the tea break down there, the dinner break. So 4 for 85 down there in Hobart. We'll get down to Hobart a little later on as the hour unfolds. Jared?
Justin Quill continues to join us. He's been a star. He's been a regular on the program. In fact, we're going to have to triple your pay this time, Justin. But finally, the announcement came.
Yeah, triple zero,
it still works.
And look, thank God it came in now, because it can distract us all a little bit from what's happening down in Hobart, in Tassie. Look, yeah, it's very interesting. We've seen, all we know now is the press release that's been put out by the minister. Just a couple of things, if I can note from this. The first is, politically, there's a statement in there saying, we thank the Australian government, thanks the Border Force officials who work every day to serve Australia's interests, etc. That, to me, is payback for the federal government throwing the border officials under the bus on Monday. Yep. When they agreed to consent orders that included a statement from the judge saying their conduct was unreasonable last Thursday at the airport. So a little bit of a payback by the government, a bit of a square up, absolutely. The other thing of note, and probably more importantly, frankly, is the ground upon which he's made the order. It's a very broad general power. So it's under the Migration Act, Commonwealth Act, 1958 Act, Section 116, and it says that you can do it if it is for basically, as I say, really, really wide power, and it's for the health or good order grounds. So, and in particular, that it's in the public interest to do so. So exactly what they mean by that, whether they mean we just need to send a message to the Australian public or the world at large that we require people to be double vaxxed to be in this country, or whether they mean there is some other public interest ground to, you know, because he went to a couple of functions when he knew he had COVID and they have to not allow people to come into the country who act like that. We don't know precisely what those grounds are. It's a very broad power. Novak Djokovic's lawyers and his QCs, plural, will be looking intently at that and trying to find a chink in that armour that they can go to court on.
Can I ask you about the timing, please, Justin? I reckon I've spent the last 45 minutes writing an editorial lashing him for delaying his announcement, because it was on the cusp of being delayed too long. So much damage already to the Australian Open. But when you start to damage the preparation of the players that have already turned up here in good faith, many of them didn't want to be vaxxed, they got vaxxed, and all of a sudden, they don't know, their whole preparation is being delayed by one bloke, well, two blokes, the immigration minister, and of course, the bloke he just, or the Joker.
Yeah. I'd say the minister probably got wind that you were going to give him a whack on in your editorial. Yeah, that's why he made the decision. Almost certain.
But why would it be delayed so much?
I couldn't agree more about the impact on others. Imagine the guy that Djokovic, and I'm not sure who it is, you guys probably know who it is, but imagine the guy Djokovic is supposed to be playing in the first round.
It's a fellow Serbian boy, ironically.
Oh, right. He'll probably give up his place for him. He's that much of a god over there, Djokovic, in Serbia. Anyway, look, why has it been delayed so long? It's because the government have been making sure that they give, that Djokovic can't say, oh, they made their decision too quickly.
Yep.
I didn't get enough chance to respond. It's also probably for political reasons they're trying to work out, is this a smart move or a not a smart move? So I think it's really, though, mainly about making sure they are bulletproof as best they can when they come to court, because almost certainly this is going to court. If you're Djokovic, why wouldn't you give it a go? Throw at the stumps. We had the judge on Monday night say, I'll make myself available at short notice. I mean, what time is it now? It's 10 past six. I'd be surprised if we... Certainly, both parties have already made contact with the judge's associate. I will almost guarantee that. I reckon they will be before the judge. Probably before the hour is out, I would expect.
Wow.
And there'll be a hearing tonight. That hearing, I suspect, will say, let's set this down for hearing tomorrow morning. You never know. They might sit on during the night. But I expect they'll hear this tomorrow. Hopefully we have a decision tomorrow or Sunday morning. You couldn't imagine it getting any closer, could you, though? Like, if you wrote this script for a Grand Slam tournament, you'd throw it out as being too unrealistic. But here we are, 48 hours effectively before the start of it. We don't know whether the number one seed's playing, and I can't even tell you exactly when the hearing will be and when the judge will make his decision. Their guess is that it'll be tomorrow.
I can't believe he's going to go there. I spoke about this last night. I think it's the worst possible outcome for the Joker. I know he may win. I know he may get an injunction, but this is not the environment, not the atmosphere to try and become the greatest player of all. I think smarter heads should prevail and he should go to the airport.
Yeah, look, Jared, you're saying that because, you're a calm, sensible, logical bloke. Novak Djokovic, he right now, I imagine his mindset is he is beset. He is, it's me against the rest of the world. He has already started his Australian Open campaign. He's basically, in the middle of a five-set match, a battle in his mind. And in that environment, the elite athlete that he is, that absolutely tenacious, stubborn, determined. And by the way, don't get me wrong, I'm no Djokovic fan. I think he's an idiot. He should have got vaccinated. He should never have been allowed in the country in the first place. But I think he is just so determined as an athlete. He will be so focused that reasonable approach that you just put won't have even entered his mind. So I expect he will go to court and he will try. And he'll be thinking to himself, imagine if I win. Imagine if I win in court, and imagine if I ultimately win my 21st Grand Slam. Imagine the story. And I've got to say, that will be some story. That will be some Netflix program.
Yep.
And Justin, before we let you go, what's the process with Djokovic now? Does he get detained? Does he go back to hotel detention? What's he doing right now, do you think?
So I imagine that he probably is. I would like to think there is some level of cooperation and communication between Djokovic's teams and the AFP, et cetera. I think also the judge said on Monday night, if you're going to make this decision, you better keep me in the loop. So I expect that the judge knew this before we all did. And there probably is some sort of agreement, I would hope, a gentleman's agreement to say, okay, well, we're not going to arrest the guy and put him in handcuffs and march him off to the airport until you have the opportunity to go before the judge. And I imagine that he's probably back in his hotel room and they've said, well, we'll give you till whatever it is, 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock to get before the judge and we'll see what the judge says. And ultimately, from that point on, the judge is the tournament director in a way. The judge will determine whether they're going to hear it tonight, hear it tomorrow. The judge will determine whether he gives an interim injunction or not. If he does give a temporary injunction, the terms of that, can he go for a walk along the river in between matches, or can he only just go to the match, or does he go straight back to detention? Does he give him an injunction but say you can't play at the Australian Open? I think that's unlikely. It's all in or not. He's going to put him on a plane or let him play in the Australian Open. There's no detention and not play as an option realistically. But it's all to the judge. The grounds that Djokovic uses will be really interesting. They might try and argue bias. They might try and say, look, the minister made this decision because I embarrassed them in court. Who knows what the grounds are yet? We need to see exactly the precise reason the minister says it is in the public interest to do so. Once you see why the minister says that, then Djokovic's team can argue why that is invalid, and we will then understand what Djokovic's argument. So at the moment, we don't know either side's precise arguments.
Justin, we know you've got CNN waiting for you, the BBC and every other TV network around the land. And I must say that on the basis of your performance to date, Thompson Gear have gone to the number one law firm in Melbourne. So thanks for your cooperation and contribution right throughout this enormous week.
Thanks, Jared. Appreciate it. See you guys.
Thank you, Justin. Let's get straight now to another man that's been all over this story all week, and that's Paul Sakal from The Age newspaper. Paul, thank you very much for your time. We might ask you that question that we just posed to Justin, whether you know the detail of that. What's happening with Djokovic now? Has he been detained? Is he going back into hotel detention? Do we know where Djokovic is?
Hey, guys. None of that's clear yet. I believe he's at his home, which is in the rented home that he's at in Toorak. As Justin says, we don't know what the government's full arguments are. We don't know on what basis Djokovic's team might challenge it, because we don't know what the basis for the decision was. What I can tell you, and I can't actually recall if I was on with you guys last night, but Djokovic's lawyers, as of last night and this morning, were poring over the Migration Act in its absolute minute detail to prepare themselves for any kind of cancellation justification that the minister might put forward. They're prepared for all kinds of different reasons to expel Djokovic, and they're preparing to launch an appeal. Their intention this morning when I spoke to them was to do that tonight. They believe that, as Justin says, the court will probably hear an injunction application tonight and then probably put on a trial over the weekend. The Djokovic team want to condense the trial. They want to reduce the time for evidence to be put. They want to reduce the amount of time for written submissions to be drafted. They're effectively trying to fast-track this trial so that it can be done as soon as Sunday night. And if Djokovic is successful, they want Djokovic playing his game on Monday or Tuesday, whichever day he's drawn for. So they want to get this done on the weekend. I haven't actually confirmed after the decision from Hawke that they are appealing, but that was their absolute intention as of this morning.
You've mentioned a couple of times now, Paul, that he has got a residence in Toorak that he's staying at. I believe it's got a tennis court. Has anybody been able to find out when that was actually booked?
That's a really good question. I haven't seen anyone confirm that.
Can you do that for me and have it in the front page of The Age by Monday?
Well, it'd be a matter of whether his Airbnb host would be willing to disclose that to us. I imagine it might harm their prospects of renting to him next Aussie Open, when I'm sure he's paying quite a mint to rent that place.
Yeah, I just wonder, though, if he booked it 3 months ago, whether or not this magical, the timing of his COVID infection becomes a little bit more messy. So where do you think it's going to from here, Paul?
It's, again, as Justin said, he's the authority on this. We won't know. We can't know what the prospects of an appeal or success are until we actually understand the arguments on both sides. But if Justin is right, and the two options for Judge Kelly, if he hears it tonight, are to allow him to play in the tournament as this hearing plays out, or, you know, send him on a plane, or potentially to put him into immigration detention. If he does go into immigration detention over the weekend, and I know his lawyers are very concerned about this prospect, that really harms his ability to play, because he needs to prepare himself on the court and in the gym and with his diet. The diet's actually crucial. So if he goes into immigration detention for a day or two, I can't see a prospect for him performing at a high level. So he might just decide to go. If the judge thinks that he needs to be detained, I think his team might decide to just get out of the country, because what's the point?
Well, for mine, that's the decision they should make anyway. I think it's just the most craziest atmosphere to be trying to compete. A country wants you to leave and you're going to take them to court and fight to stay. I mean, that doesn't make sense to me, but I'm a bit strange. I know that.
Absurdity has been a streak throughout this whole process. If you said to us 2.5 weeks ago that we'd be in a situation where the world number one would be detained in an Australian immigration detention centre and be fighting the Australian government to not be deported 2 days out from the Aussie Open, you'd literally have thought that person was crazy, but here we are.
You've been a star again, Paul. We do appreciate it, and The Age will no doubt be looking at your contract, because you have been the number one man so far this week. Your print stuff has been absolutely awesome. All the best.
Thank you both for having me again. Cheers.
Thank you, Paul. Paul Segal there from the A's. The lines are open. 133-693 is the phone number. What do you think of this decision? And it will be interesting whether or not the judge, as we heard Paul say there, the Djokovic camp wants this done really, really quickly so yeah. we can get on with preparing for the Australian Open. Does the judge care about that, that there's a tournament? Or will he, you know, sit maybe a couple of days? Will it take longer than just a night? That will all come out in the wash in the next 24 hours or so.
What's your gut feel on that? My gut feel is that the judge is very, very pro-Djokovic, but that may have changed since he saw the holes in the Joker's argument over the last 3 days, like most of the rest of us watching.
133-693 is the phone number. We'll take your calls after the break. And we'll get the Hobart as well because it is all happening down.
Number one Obashian, the chief. Brent Costello's going to join
us. Yeah, it's all happening down at Bellerive Oval. All that up next and your calls and we'll get down to Bellerive Oval on Sports Day. Welcome back to Sports Day, powered by Red Energy Award, Canstar's most trusted energy retailer, and for Kia as well. We'll get to your calls in a moment after this dramatic Novak Djokovic decision, 133-693. But let's talk about the cricket. Australia are currently 4-100 down at Bellerive Oval. We know that England won the toss and elected to bowl. Jared, I'll just run you through the card before we get to Brent down there at Bellerive Oval. David Warner was out for a 22-ball duck. Usman Khawaja out for six. Steve Smith was out for a 2-ball duck. And Marnus Labuschagne, now, I'm not too sure whether you've ever played Twister before.
Indeed.
Jared, yep. It was like he was playing Twister and batting at the same time. His dismissal out for 44. Travis Head at the crease at the moment, 38 not out. And Cameron Green is unbeaten on 10. Let's get down to Brent Costello. He's from Wind News in Tasmania at Bellerive Oval. Quite an action-packed first session, Brent.
Yeah, it certainly was, Matt. Good evening to you too, Jared. It's an electric atmosphere here, gents. I can hardly hear what you're saying through the phone line. But, it was an action-packed one, that's for sure. Obviously, the Aussies off to a really rocky start before the fight back took place. But, yeah, losing Marnus right on the dinner break didn't help proceedings. But these two look pretty comfortable at the crease at the moment, Cam Green and Trav Head. So I hope they can put a bit of a partnership together.
Now, it was reported some years ago that a very well-known coach, who may well have been a former Tasmanian of the St Kilda Football Club, used to go out and water the wicket, the turf wicket, to slow the whole game down. Did you have a hose in your hand last night? Because you're a bit of a green top.
Yeah, it doesn't look as green as, I first saw the wicket probably 2 or 3 days ago and it was a real green end. You could hardly pick it out of the centre wicket, but it was green at the start of the day's play, but I think it's slowly losing its colour a little bit, which is probably good news because, yeah, the Aussies really struggled to bat on it early.
Indeed they did. I mean, we know that they lasted for a period of time, the two openers, but they could have been out 5 times each.
Yeah, exactly, and I think that 22-ball duck that David Warner got, that's the longest time he's been stranded on zero, I think, at three, so just goes to show how tough it was out there.
So the build-up and then the excitement, a bit of a rain delay, but the crowd's turned up, but it looks fantastic. I know Punter, he's almost beside himself with pride on the commentary.
Yeah, as he should be. It does look magnificent, Jared. And, yeah, I was a little bit concerned with the rain earlier on in the day, but a half an hour delay, which wasn't too bad in the end. And a few grey skies here as I stand and talk to you now, but I don't think we're going to see, hopefully, any more rain for the rest of the day, which will be great.
Travis Head continues his cavalier approach, 38 off 41 balls. It's fortunate that he's come back in and come back in good nick.
Absolutely, yeah. And, you know, excuse him, I suppose, for having some time out and obviously struck down by COVID. So he looks great touch at the moment. And as you say, yeah, going pretty well.
Good on you, Brent. Keep us updated down there in Tassie, 4-102 Australia at the moment. A couple of quick calls. Andrew in Oak Park has been waiting. G'day, Andrew.
Good afternoon, guys. I would like to nominate the Immigration Officer for Australian of the Year. And if there's an honour board at Parliament House, I'd like his name put up on it for Legends of Australian History.
All right.
So you support the decision completely, obviously, or you're tongue-in-cheek?
No, absolutely support the decision.
Okay. Yes, I thought his timing was just about to run out, to be honest, and it was going to swing against him. But I think at this stage, the majority of Victorians, 82 or 3%, I think was the last count on the Herald Sun poll, have supported that decision. I wonder whether the bloke who really counts will support it.
Peter in Templestowe. Hi, Pete.
Yeah, g'day, guys. Jared, can I suggest something to you? That I think the reason that Novak is fighting so hard to stay here is that if he gets sent home from here, the President Macron in France is much, much harder on unvaccinated people than we are. And he will say, Australia set the precedent, so you're not coming to the French Open. And then what's it do for what sort of decision Wimbledon then have to make? So there's not just one slam riding on this. I'd say there's maybe two more after this.
It's a fair point. I think the sports minister in France qualified and said he would be welcome, but he's the sports minister. Macron is el presidente, so you may well be right, and the world may get really small for Novak Djokovic. He's being investigated in Spain, where he now has a residence and would like to live. He's got the president of Serbia also giving him a public clip, and who knows what sort of fine he's going to get. I doubt they're going to throw him in jail as they did initially with the transgressing on the isolation rules. But it's a very fair point you make, and appreciate your call.
Thank you for that, Peter. Rodney in Craigieburn. Hi, Rodney.
G'day, mate. Oh, look, I think you should do the right thing, hop back on the plane, go back home, let it be, go in a good way, apologise to the Australian people and say, I'm sorry, I won't do that again. Hop back on the plane and say, look, I'm sorry, I'll come back next year and let the nightmare go. But he won't do that, will he?
Well, I hope he does. It doesn't seem like he's going to, and there's too many cheer squad leaders around him to give him that advice, and maybe he doesn't listen. Maybe he's one of these guys that is so obstinate that that's the reason he has been able to come back from the dead a number of times in games. He doesn't listen to reality. He just keeps on keeping on, and I think it'd be a smart decision.
Yep.
If this is a three-year ban, well, he can't come back anyway. I mean, we haven't got clarification on whether that three-year ban will stick or not. We'll try and do that, but look, it's just turned nasty, and that was the whole flaw in trying to make this guy different to everybody else. And this was something that Tennis Australia and the state government, to a lesser degree, should have acknowledged when they set up these nonsensical backdoor medical exemption facilities, yep, because it was only designed for one person.
We'll take more calls a little bit later on. Roger Rashid to join us as well to talk about the actual tournament that begins on Monday. But let's get a break now and head to the newsroom and say good evening to Tony Tardio.
Good evening. World number one tennis player Novak Djokovic has had his visa cancelled. The decision of Immigration Minister Alex Hawke was made public just before 6 o'clock this evening. The minister has released a statement saying he's exercised his power on health and good order grounds because it's in the public interest. Djokovic's lawyers are expected to appeal the decision. A man identified as taxi driver Prabal Sharma remains under police guard in hospital after allegedly fatally stabbing his wife and their 6-year-old daughter. Police were called to the Kellaway Crescent home at Mill Park just before 7 o'clock last night. The victims have been identified as 39-year-old dental nurse Poonam Sharma, who died at the scene, and their 6-year-old daughter Vanessa, who died in hospital. In a separate incident, a 73-year-old man is in custody following a double fatal shooting at Mortialik. Two men aged 62 and 72 were shot dead over what's believed to have been a neighbourhood dispute. And the state government is to convert two quarantine hotels in Melbourne to two medi-hotels to help ease pressure on Victoria's hospital system. More news at 7.
Time now for a sports update for Tyre Power, Australia's biggest independent tyre retailer, keeping you safe on the roads. Tyrepower.com.au.
Welcome back to Sports Day Sports Update. We head straight to Bellerive Oval. 4 for 115, the Aussies head. Doing beautifully, coming back from COVID, 46 and green, Jared, unbeaten on 17.
Ball is moving around incredibly off a good length, so if you can make a 50 on this wicket, it's virtually a 75 or 100.
Other cricket stories. Interesting little article from Malcolm Conn in The Age talking about, yep, Justin Langer. Now, we know his contract is up for renewal, I think, in June. and there's big talk that he won't be renewed, even though that they won the retained the Ashes and won the T20 World Cup. And Malcolm Conn wrote this about an interaction that Justin Langer had with the great Sir Alex Ferguson. And he sat down with Sir Alex Ferguson and he said this to Langer. One thing he said is, it's a bit old school. He said, never cede control to the players because someone has to make the decision. Someone has to be the boss. And Malcolm Conn saying in his article, that highlights a fundamental misunderstanding of the cricket coach's role. He's not the boss. The captain is in charge of cricket teams. And that is why he could be in trouble and not popular with the players.
No, I think it's a fair assessment. He shouldn't have got the blow dryer out or the hair dryer out, as Sir Alex Ferguson famously used to do. But let's have a couple of calls before we take a break. And Roger Rashid's going to join us. Dana Werribee, Brendan, thanks for your call.
Oh, g'day, guys. How are you going? Look, I when I heard the news, I opened a bottle of bubbly and I've just finished it because I've been waiting so long to talk to you. But I think it's just fantastic news. Fantastic news for the average Australian that's done it so hard.
Yep.
Not only Victoria, but the whole lot of Australia. We have to be double backs to go and see these people play. And fine, we love to see them play. But we have to be double backs to go in. I think it's an absolute farce. It shouldn't have gone on this far. And it should have been dealt with a lot earlier because it does put a little bit of a cloud over our decision-making in this country.
Brendan, I think you've summed it up really well. Look, getting a medical exemption is fine if you're prepared to be vaccinated. If you've got an anaphylactic shock reaction or you've for some reason you cannot take the jab, that is absolutely fine. That's what medical exemptions are for. But they're not for well-known anti-vaxxers. That is just a flawed system, and it's rotting the system.
Yeah, I'm with you. If you make a conscious decision not to get the vaccine, it's not for you, the medical exemption.
And it's not surprising that Stefanos Tsitsipas, who's clearly listened to the program, said he felt like they were fools. I mean,
yep.
You know, in the locker room, and we'll ask Roger this, they'd be looking, saying, well, how come I'm the only one. He's the only one who could get the free entry out the back door.
Yeah, because there were a lot that didn't want to get the vaccine.
That's
right. So, we'll have a chat to Roger Rashid. He's going to join us after the break on Sports Day. Welcome back to Sports Day. We'll get to Roger Rashid. He's standing by. We'll have a chat to him about this news. But back to your calls. 133-693 is the phone number. Robert in South Moran. G'day, Rob.
Guys, how are you going? Listen, I'll just try to be brief as I can. Firstly, he's made a mockery of the Australian people and the Australian government for him trying to attempt whatever he's anti-vaxxing. And I guess I don't understand the mindset what he's got because I mean he's the world number one title is in jeopardy and he just threw it away. But he deserves it because he's just a joker, as most people put it.
Thanks, Robert. We'll get to you, David, in just a tick. But Roger Rashid has been good enough to take our call. We normally talk to him about tactics and matchups, etc. We might even have time for that. But let's find out his initial reaction to the biggest news in sport globally right now. Welcome to you, Roger.
Good afternoon, guys. Yeah, it's quite enormous. I don't think it was something that we were not expecting. I think we were going to see a ball being hit back over the net by the Australian government, and it's been hit pretty firmly, hasn't it?
I guess the issue now, Roger, is if he does get an injunction, is it the right thing for him to go back and play? Not that he cares about the right thing, it would appear at the moment. He's only thinking about himself and his, you know, want to win the tournament, and that's okay. I accept all that, but do you think it's the right thing for him to go back? I mean, Tsitsipas is already enunciated what just about everybody, I suspect, is feeling. They are feeling as if he's got special treatment and they're not happy.
Yeah, look, I think, first of all, yes, I agree with you. Like, the athletes are selfish. We're all, you know, an individual athlete and, you know, teams, it's a selfish environment and you've got to be single-minded. But there's also a moral, you've got to have a moral compass. And right now, I think you put that aside for whatever you're chasing and whatever your dreams are. And you look at the big picture, and for the big picture, some legitimate role modelling globally,
yep.
And we've seen it hasn't been great in the past, that I just think if he was able to sit back and say, I need to take this off the table, I need to move away and actually acknowledge and respect, you know, that it's not all about sport right this minute. Yeah, I would think that would be probably the best position that Novak could take. Will he take that? I don't think so. I'm sure it's not going to be the case.
It is crazy when you sit back and just think about it. A country has asked you to leave. You're a sportsman. Mm. I mean, he's been the great. He's been the king of our Rod Laver centre court for the best part of a decade. And yet it's got to a point where we've asked him to leave and he's going to fight to stay.
Well, we're acknowledging all the good things that take away the sport. We do know what he's done in the sport. So we'll take our hat off to him for that. That's outstanding. But right now, you know, what about your peers? You're the top of the game. You've got a whole locker room of players. You've got players on the men's and women's side who have all got themselves totally vaccinated to enter this country to play this event. And there's one person that's not. And so I think there's a little bit of respect that's got to be shown to your peer group as well. And look, we don't know where this is going to go. It's not a great thing for our sport, for tennis, for Australia, for whatever it is. I know the event will get on. It'll get on the map. We'll play. We'll get some outstanding tennis. At the moment now in Australia, we have got the best players on the planet and we're not talking about them.
Yeah.
And that's a real sad thing. I know we'll get to it. And the sooner we get to it, the better, because we'll end up having a great Australian Open. Regardless, we'll end up having a great Australian Open, and hopefully we get we can enjoy that and celebrate that in its right time.
Hey, Roger, do you know what happens logistically if he does not play? Do they redo the men's draw? Is his first round opponent just a walkover? What do they do if he actually doesn't play on Monday or Tuesday?
What they do is, I mean, they would have had some modelling already around this. Tennis Australia would have been on the front foot around what might happen. Now, they just moved the seeding spots. So I'm just I'm not exactly sure who will go into his seeding spot. So one of the seeds that'll just move around a bit. And the draw generally stays where it is, the playing group, but the seedings will just adjust.
And we've got good news stories, as you said, to talk about. I mean, Thanasi Kokkinakis is playing Marin Cilic tonight in the semi-final of the Adelaide International. So from a local point of view here in Australia, we've got the Ash Barty story as well. I mean, unfortunately, we're talking about Novak Djokovic, but on the court, there's plenty of great news stories, Rog.
Yeah, there are. There are great news stories. We're watching a little bit of a re-emergence of Andy Murray. He's having a great run in Sydney too. He's trying to have a tilt at one major where he can actually go deep. Thanasi Kokkinakis here in Adelaide, back-to-back semi-finals, Ash Barty. There's a host of great stories that are coming through, and we'll get to celebrate those. There's no doubt about that. Obviously, this is a global story now. It's one of the biggest sporting names on the planet who has definitely gone out strong, hasn't made some good choices all through this whole COVID environment globally. And it seems like, obviously, the hardest thing for us and for anybody in the world, and probably Novak as well, was, how do I connect the dots? And all at the moment, the dots from in December till now haven't been connected. It sits where it sits at the moment. So we'll just have to sit and wait. But unfortunately, it's not a great climate, is it?
Can I ask you, was there disquiet when it became obvious that Novak was being given an opportunity to turn up unvaccinated?
What was that? What was the first part, Jared?
Was there disquiet in the playing ranks, do you feel, when it was given? It looked like in early December that the medical exemption entry was open to him.
Look, I'm sure within the playing group, they're obviously, they've got their own perspective on this. Everyone's gone to great lengths to actually do the right thing. As we see, there's 97, I think, percent of the playing group now is vaccinated. So hats off to them. And that happened in just recent times. So especially in the off-season, they had opportunities to actually get themselves double vaxxed and boosted, et cetera. But, and look, there would have been people not happy with it. There's no doubt about that. Inside the playing fraternity, there'd be a lot of people that wouldn't have been, would maybe know Novak's position and would not be happy with it. But as you know, most people are in their own lane and looking after themselves and not having, not wasting their energy on others because they can't control that environment. So I'm sure that's what's taken place. We haven't heard too much from the playing group as such.
Can I ask you, Roger, to fill in one of the blanks, because the most important issue in the final week leading up to the Australian Open normally is the speed of the balls, and yet we haven't heard. Do we know whether they're too fluffy? Do we know whether they're too slow? Are they too springy? Are they? Which player is blueing about the balls this year? Because we haven't heard from anyone.
Well, I tell you, Jared, if I can look at the court speeds right now, yep. Tennis Australia have done a great job of getting it right because we're seeing points, we're seeing some winners through the court. We're seeing your ability to hit the slice shot and get some advantage out of that, come forward to the net and also play off the back of the court. So we have got a court at the Australian Summer and in Melbourne this week coming up that's going to provide some all-round tennis.
Good.
And that's when I think we've got it right. So the balls, well, they're going to be quite quick, I think, Jared. You're going to get some value out of it.
Lovely. That's the information we needed.
Roger, we will talk to you throughout the tournament about the actual tennis, mate. Thank you very much for having a chat to us.
Thanks, boys. Enjoy.
Roger Rashid joining us there. We're coming up to the 7 o'clock news. I think it's fair to say that a lot of people are very happy about this Novak Djokovic decision. We had the gentleman who came on before saying that he's popped some bubbles, and I think there's a lot that are thinking along the same lines.
Yeah, I know a number of Uber drivers rang through, and we apologise we couldn't get all our callers to air, but a number of Uber drivers have volunteered to take him there. To the airport.
So we will keep you up to date with what happens with Novak Djokovic. But if you've just tuned in, that news, his visa has been cancelled, but expected to go back into the courtroom. Jared, it's been fun.
It's been great having you here, Matt. Have a good, well-earned week off next week. But as we speak, Australia, 4 for 138.